The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Saturday, January 31st, 2015.
Dear friends, as Gideon taught us, this week's Torah reading celebrates perhaps the most dramatic moment in all the five books of Moses, the great miracle, God's dividing the Red Sea so that the Israelites can escape Pharaoh's army. As Gideon's thoughtful sermon crystallized, we're also confronted with perhaps the Torah's greatest theological challenge. Why doesn't God perform such miracles today? And what help ought we expect from God when we face moments of crisis, such turbulent seas in our own lives? And finally, Gideon asked, what does God expect of us in such moments? Those are the questions the rabbis ponder in their extraordinary interpretations of Parashat Bishalach. The section Gideon chanted so beautifully is known as Shirat Hayam, the song of the sea the Israelites sang after making the crossing. But we should turn back for a moment to its prelude, to those verses that describe the Israelites' arrival at the shores and their perilous plight. We find them trapped. Before them, the swirling currents. Behind them, Pharaoh's ever-approaching army. In your handouts, inside on the lower right-hand panel, you'll find Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 16. And I invite you to follow along with me as I read. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites caught sight of the Egyptians advancing upon them. Greatly frightened, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Was it for want of graves in Egypt that you brought us to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, taking us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us be, and we will serve the Egyptians, for it is better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness'?" But Moses said to the people, "Have no fear. Stand by and witness the deliverance which the Lord will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will battle for you. You hold your peace." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward, and you lift up your rod and hold out your arm over the sea and split it, so that the Israelites may march into the sea on dry ground." Now I'd ask you to focus in on verses 15 and 16. God gives Moses some instructions here. In order, what are those instructions? Tell Israel to go forward, then lift your rod to split the sea. Do you find the sequence a little unusual? In the commentary, Or HaChaim, we find this note. It's difficult to understand in what direction the Israelites were expected to march forward, with the pursuer at their rear and the sea in front of them. If the command to march was meant to follow after the sea divided, then the verse should have read, "Lift up your rod and stretch your hand over the sea and divide it, and then tell the children of Israel to march." But that's not the way it reads. So the rabbis explain that God was testing the people's faith, their faith that the waters would split once Israel entered them. And what's more, God instructs Moses, who customarily marched in front, to linger behind. The people would have to face this moment of uncertainty on their own. Now, the rabbis wonder just how eagerly the Israelites took this leap of faith. Rabbi Meir imagined it this way. When the Israelites stood on the brink of the sea, The tribes argued with one another. One insisted, "I will go down first into the sea." The other answered, "I will go first." But Rabbi Judah said, "No, this is the way it happened." The tribes were not quite so brave. They trembled in fear, one crying out, "I do not want to go down first into the sea." Another saying, "Well, I don't want to go first." Then, while they were arguing, Nachshon ben Aminadab of the tribe of Judah plunged with his tribe after him into the sea. Buoyed by courage and faith, Nachshon goes wading out into the waters. And you who know the Midrash can recount its ever-heightening drama. The water rises to Nachshon's waist, but the sea rages on. Then to his neck, and it's wilder than ever. Only once the waters rise over Nachshon's mouth and nose so that he can no longer breathe, does the sea finally split. Nachshon, the rabbis clearly portray as the model of courage and faith. Actually, there's even an addendum to the tale, which says that Nachshon was so anxious to demonstrate his faith that as he raced toward the sea, he tossed stones in the way of anyone he thought might beat him into the water. He was that determined to be first. And so we learn that the miracle only occurred because one brave Israelite led the way. God responded, but that act of human courage needed to come first. And thus, the order of God's instruction to Moses: tell the Israelites to go forward, then lift up your rod and split the sea. But I ask myself, if I had been there at the sea, would I have been as brave as Nachshon? And I know myself well enough to answer without a doubt: not a chance. I would not have acted as Nachshon did. At least not as he acted in this telling of the story. But there is yet another version of the story that I can relate to. And it goes like this. The tribes all stood terrified at the seashore, caught between the raging waters and Pharaoh's marauding army. All of them were yelling, "I don't want to be the first to go down into the water." "Well, I certainly don't want to go first." And then somehow, amidst the confusion and the panic, Nachshon fell into the sea. Now that I could have done. And it was only then, this story says, as the waters enveloped him, that Nachshon mustered the courage and the faith to ford ahead. This is the version of the story that I like the best. It may not be the most dramatic, but it's often the most real. Most of us don't choose to place ourselves in distress. It seems to find us very well on its own, and we must respond. Only then do we realize the courage we possess, the strength we have inside us to pick up the pieces of our lives after a once loving relationship has ended, after the death of one close, in sickness, at the loss of a job, at so many moments when the future seems uncertain and we are hanging on one day at a time, unsure of tomorrow, swept along in a strange sea, no visible corridor between the waves, without the reassuring presence of those on whom we once counted. Then we find somewhere a quiet strength. Somehow we make it through. Where does that strength come from? From the support we give each other, to be sure, but also from somewhere deep within us. A wellspring maybe we never knew we had, but it is there. Gideon, today is a day to look deep inside yourself. In a very real way, you too are standing on the edge of a sea of new and wondrous experiences, the sea of young adulthood. Great joys await, but also occasional challenges. There are no perfect navigation charts for these waters. They're filled with great moments of excitement, but also at times difficult choices. There will be moments when others will try to convince you to act or believe differently than the way you know to be right. You just remain true to who you are. The best you can do is take with you a sense of what's important to you and march forward. And that is what today is about. It's about your affirming in your own life those values and ideals that have sustained us as a people since that moment when we were born as a people out of the Red Sea's waters. And it's about knowing that you don't make the journey alone. Supporting you is this congregation and the wider Jewish community it represents, and of course, your wonderful family. You spoke about miracles. The miracle of the sea splitting was intended to teach the Israelites that God was with them. We may not experience miracles of that kind anymore, but there are enough miracles in this world for you to have faith and trust that God is with you too. As you taught, we need only open our eyes and see them, open our hearts and feel them. Certainly there is no miracle greater than the miracle we are witnessing this morning. And I don't mean your marvelous leadership of our congregation. There's nothing miraculous about that. That was the result of your own hard work and commitment. But in your presence here on this bima, Rabbi Rubenstein spoke of it. In your standing beside your parents, we did witness that miracle of Jewish continuity, that unending chain of Jewish life. And how many generations did our people face one Pharaoh or another? Persecution and oppression that might have wiped us out. We spoke of the anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz and the modern Pharaoh, Hitler. And yet somehow we survived it all. In each of those generations, parents could easily have decided that the dangers and burdens of Jewish life were too great to pass on. And yet, instead, in each of those generations, they made the decision that the beauty and meaning of Jewish life were too precious not to pass on. You made all of us so proud today, and we look forward in the years ahead to watching you grow into the person you are yet to be. We love you for who you are now, and for whoever you become. And in that love and pride and affection, we say the Shehechianu together. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Shehechianu v'kiyamanu v'higianu lazman hazeh. We praise you, Adonai, our God, ruler of the universe, who keeps us in life, sustains us, and enables us to celebrate this moment together.